Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 47. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and joining me as always is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, sir?
I'm feeling kind of nerdy today. I've got to hit the books and, go through the study guides.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
Working on a new exam.
Ooh, are we allowed to talk about that? I thought that was top secret stuff there.
Is this top secret?
Yeah, we are. We have been asked to contribute to a VMware exam, which is quite an honor, I think. I think it's pretty cool.
Yep. So you got to strike a balance between like, okay, how evil do I want this to be versus like, okay, the most pedantic person in the world, which is probably me, is going to try to like interpret this in a certain way. So
I cannot wait to read your questions.
There may be an Easter egg in the answers.
Oh, options, I'm sure. I think your wrong answers are going to be more interesting than anything. But anyway. So, John, last week was really cool. We got to go down the stack a little bit in the storage and talk about NVMe, which I thought was a blast. But this week, we're going to journey up a little higher, and we're going to focus on VMware's cloud automation platform, vRealize Automation. Now, you may have heard that VRA just came out with 7.3 this week, which for a dot release is feature-packed. But we're not going to talk about that this week because in a few weeks, we're going to be bringing on our own resident expert, Jad Elzine, and he's going to walk us through all the specifics of VRA 7.3. So look for that. But before we even talk about that, I wanted to talk about the fact that a good friend of ours, Mr. Eric Siebert, has released the poll for the annual top V-blog. And so I wanted to, one, give a plug. So because there is a podcast for the first time, we are on the podcast list. So if you like the podcast, please vote for the Virtually Speaking Podcast. But also I wanted to throw a couple of picks that I think are vote worthy. Now, I don't know if you heard, John, but the Netherlands have pulled out this year. So Duncan and Frank.
Oh, yeah. I feel like there's a pun on Brexit just waiting to happen here.
You know, I thought about that, but that's really hard to do. It's like Netherlands exit or Dutch gets it. No, can't do it. But yeah, I think it's great that Duncan's been like number one for like 8 years in a row. So, you know, much respect for him for pulling out and giving some other folks a chance to make it into the top 10.
I'm going to at some point in this podcast come up with the term for the Netherlands exit. So it just if you hear me shout something out, that's what it is. So
I can't.
But
wait.
I do agree. It's great that they've, you know, they're opening up some room in the top 10 for others to make it in there.
Absolutely. And a couple that I think that should definitely are noteworthy that I wanted to mention. Interestingly enough, two of them are going to be on the podcast with us here in a couple of minutes. One is Cody Hosterman from Pure Storage. He does a ton of great VMware blogging on CodyHosterman.com. But also Aaron Patton. I don't know if you know him, but he's from SolidFire. Also another VMware expert over there doing some really cool stuff. And he blogs at JediMT.com. So two really smart guys. I might as well bring them on now that I've mentioned their names. So Aaron Patton from SolidFire and Cody Hosterman from Pure Storage. Welcome to the podcast.
How you guys doing?
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Doing well. Glad to have you guys on. So, hey, we're talking about the top V blogs. I know you guys are on there. Any picks that you guys think should make the top 10?
Yeah, there's absolutely a couple out there. IT Hollow, right? Eric Shanks. Yes. I think that's pretty apropos for this conversation. He's helped me out with vRealize Automation, and I think he's helped everyone out with vRealize Automation. So that's certainly absolutely one of my top votes.
Good one.
I'm a big fan of Virtually Ghetto and Chris Wall's blog also.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic content there.
Yep. Eric Busink. I never knew how to pronounce his last name, but Eric Busink, he's also, he's got a great blog. He's got one of the largest home labs I've ever seen. He calls it the home data center. But he does a lot of blogging on VMware and home blogging, and he's at busink.ch, but another good blogger out there. So yeah, if you haven't voted yet, go out to vsphere-land.com and vote for the top V-blogs of 2017. Awesome. Let's move on. vRealize 7.3 came out this week. A lot of cool things. We're going to talk about that more in the upcoming weeks. Some of the plugs for that now has native integration with vSAN, with vSphere integrated containers, And it also has support for t-shirt sizes now too. So much more standardized configurations around the blueprint. So I think that's pretty cool. Looking forward to hear more about that. But before we dive into that, we should talk a little bit about sort of what VRA is and who's using it and why. And that's why I wanted to bring on you guys, because I've had many offline conversations with you guys about vRealize automation. And I think it's interesting that you guys are using it. Probably there's probably some overlap, but you definitely have interesting ways of using VRA. So why don't we start with you, Cody? Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with VRA.
Yeah, absolutely. So really, one of the first conversations I've been having with customers around vRealize automation is kind of where they're moving towards and managing their infrastructure, right? vCenter is great, right? It's awesome technology. There's a lot of cool features. But in reality, it's really more targeted as the engine for your VMware environment, not necessarily the interface that everybody should be logging into, right? And everybody means not just VMware admins, storage admins, also application owners, VM owners, pretty much everyone, right? And vCenter is not really targeted for that. That's something that vRealize Automation provides, right? Because the right people can still manage the infrastructure or the parts of your infrastructure that you want to control and manage, but then you can very easily, with allocation limits, time limits, like, oh, you can do this between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. or whatnot, yeah. How many times they want to request something, how much of it, right? There's a lot of flexibility and control that you can build into chargeback, right, into VRA for provisioning what they need. Right. VRA allows them to have certain people own some object, some part of their infrastructure. That's an app, a VM, a snapshot, right? And be able to say, yes, you can own this specific item, and these are the three things you can do with them. Right. And a big use case for our customers around that often is snapshots, right? Managing snapshots, owning this snapshot. I want this admin to use this, right? And they can use VRA to manage their point in times and restore and recover, right, across their environment. So that's one of the primary early initial use cases that often we'll get into here with Pure and then VMware customers.
So do you build the VRA blueprints for your customers, or you just kind of give them an example for them to propagate, or how does that work?
Yeah, so there's a couple options here. And really, you can't talk about VRA without talking about vRealize Orchestrator. Sure. Orchestrator is really the workflow engine that manages what, you know, VMware refers to as anything as a service, XaaS or infrastructure as a service or whatever, right? And VRO is really the basis for building these workflows. And so we have a plugin for vRealize Orchestrator, we as in Pure, that comes with a bunch of default workflows, right? Creating data stores, creating volumes, creating snapshots, restoring, so forth and so on. Right. And those default workflows cover most of the use cases. So most customers don't need to build anything custom. They install the plugin, authenticate an array, and they can import those into vRealize Automation as infrastructure as a service blueprints, right? And then divvy them out as either catalog items or resource actions or whatnot. But the VRO plugin is also a development environment, right? Just like VRO is for anything, right? There's a bunch of default workflows for vCenter, but you can build what you want. It has the full access to the VMware SDK. And right. Same thing with the Flash Array. And a great resource for building that is a website that has all the plugins out there and their kind of their scriptable objects and their methods and their inputs and outputs, vroapi.com. Really, really great resource. So you can use VRO, that website, our documentation, VMware's documentation to really customize these workflows in a variety of ways. And so, yes, there's some pre-built ones, but there's also some custom work you can certainly do if you want to tailor it to your needs.
Nice, nice. So you're taking VRA and basically presenting what you can already do on the Flash Array if you were a storage administrator and presenting it up maybe in a more granular fashion to maybe a subset of people, something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can manage your snapshots on the array. We have a vSphere web client plugin. There's a billion different kind of ways and tools out there. I mean, a lot of the backup vendors support it, right? I mean, the Rubrik, Commvault, you know, half a dozen others. But the nice thing about VRA, right, is that, yes, you can create the snapshots everywhere else, manage them. But VRA allows you not just to manage that piece, but everything else, right? My app owner owns this VM and the snapshot. Here's a great place where they can control them, see them in one single kind of pane for the administrators.
You could also make sure the application, so if it doesn't have any VSS tie-ins, if it needs its own quiescent state, you could basically have that scripted all together into one VRO workflow and expose that to the app owner.
Exactly, exactly. And that's a prime benefit there.
Well, and I like the idea of pushing snapshot management out, but still having control of what they can do. Because if you've ever been in a situation where you delegated permissions to some VMs and just exposed the raw vCenter to a developer ever, you end up with some like 94 deep chain snapshot, you know, insanity pretty quickly. And so being able to establish some rules of, okay, we're going to have automated, you know, X amount of rollback points, or you're not going to be able to take more than 8 of these. It forces some sanity without you having to babysit, you know, and allow for developers gone wild to break out on your infrastructure.
Exactly. You can see control of doing it, you know, clicking the buttons, typing the commands or whatever, but still control kind of how it's done and when it's done and why it's done. And just also for an auditing purpose, right? When they request a change, a restore or whatnot, you can have them put in a reason for that. And right, and that reason can be then approved by an administrator, and then VRA and VRO will do it, right? And so it also adds some additional context to like auditing and audit logs that you may not have had before as well.
Well, and I've seen plugins to the expose VRA to a higher level to things like ServiceNow or service workflows. That way you can do your whole, you can expose the change control and make it seamless to where there's emails and things fired off. It's VRA kind of is your central compliance, you know, insanity control point.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful thing about really the whole vRealize suite is that they all have REST, right? I mean, you know, we have our REST on our flash array, but every vRealize product also has its own REST API. And I've had actually a surprising amount of customers also integrate ServiceNow with VRA, right? And that seems to be a pretty commonly increasing use case I've seen in the past couple of months is ServiceNow and VRA.
Well, that's the power of VRA is that it's much like vSphere is that it's an extensible platform. At the end of the day, I mean, it's kind of like my attitude on monitoring software. There's a lot of products that are great at the 10 things they do out of the box, and then extending them is awful. And there's a lot of products out there historically in cloud management, also in monitoring, that they could monitor anything if you're willing to write your own MIBs or write your own workflows or scripts. And VRA seems to strike a balance between having a lot of out-of-the-box functionality and a lot of out-of-the-box third parties plugins that are already ready to go while still being extensible.
Yeah, exactly. And one of my favorite things is that you can also edit the color scheme and things like that of VRA. And so I make sure to have our orange hex code of FD5000 all over vRealize automation. So, of course, that's a requirement of working up here is to memorize the hex code and RGB values for our orange. It's a very important thing.
Nice.
Yeah, I see you actually put that into the job description of one of your posts out there recently.
Absolutely. First question we ask.
How do you look in orange?
Oh, fantastic. And the great thing about orange is that, you know, the day after Halloween, I can get everything for like 90% off and redo my wardrobe every year. So it never gets stale for cheap.
The perks of working at Pure Storage. That's great.
Indeed.
Yeah. So my first introduction to VRA, I always viewed it as a way to deploy workstations, right? Like somebody gets out there, it's this cloud platform where consumers can get out there and say, oh, I need a workstation that's this size, that's, I want to spend this much money, I need it for this use case, blah, blah, blah. And I provision a workstation. But Cody, you were one of the first guys that, you know, kind of broadened that out for me and showed me that there's a lot more to do with VRA. And so I think it's really interesting that you're actually using it as, you know, infrastructure as a service, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of customers I talked to that already had VRA, that's what they're doing, provisioning VMs from a variety of different endpoints, right? And there's a lot of cool stuff you can do there, obviously. But, you know, the conversation we'd have is like, you can do a lot more with this if you extend it with VRO. And that's where a lot of the focus in the past year and a half or so with VRA work has been with me.
Nice. So Aaron, you've been at SolidFire for a while. You've been doing a lot of stuff with VMware. And I know VRA is not your primary role, but I know that it's something that you've blogged about several times. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're doing with VRA?
Yeah. So, I mean, in contrast to what Cody said, right, it's really a tale of two different histories when it comes to the companies. And so, you know, SolidFire was one of those architectures that was kind of born more for service providers. And so we look at VRA through quite a bit different lens than a lot of Cody's customers. Now, there's some people who do want to use the same type of stuff that Cody was talking about. But in general, when you're talking to the customers that we have in our barn, they're more interested in, you know, how do we tie this into policies and APIs? And they really love the marriage of the SPBM plugin that was written a while back. That was an extension of the Project Magic work that Rawlinson did a while ago.
Yep.
And how do you plug that in with vVols, right? So now that allows us to create policies now that we can surface up through vRealize. And then in our blueprints, you know, now we can specify pretty much ironclad performance profiles that we want to give out to the apps that we're provisioning, right? And the service providers love that, right? Because what do they got to do? They got to rate service level agreements.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And this allows them, you know, leveraging the QoS capabilities of the platform to go out and do that.
Yep.
Right. You know, so we get into a lot of service providers who just eat that stuff alive. And so we've got a lot of people now that, you know, SolidFire released vVol support last year. Since that, we've seen a huge uptick in use case for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been playing with the SolidFire Vasa provider, and their QoS is pretty awesome. I really like what you guys are doing over there. And that makes sense. If you're a service provider and you need to guarantee a certain amount of nines, you're going to want to be able to manage that somehow. And I think storage policy-based management integrated with VRAs is a really great way to do that.
Yeah, it works really well for our customers. And, you know, a lot of the other junk, you know, I'll spare you the whole pitch, but they like that with the scale out piece attached to it so that they don't have to really worry so much about, you know, where does this land? You know, as we get busier, we can just add more nodes to it and it just scales out a resource. So the whole SPBM scale out piece, one of the reasons they like it, right, is it takes a lot of the manual stuff out of it. There's less points where you have to write your own integration code. It's simpler to maintain. There's a lot less things to go wrong, and you can do it without having the deep domain expertise that you used to need to have. Right. You know, and so now with VRA 7.3, I know you guys say you're going to bring in some guys to talk about that later, you know, but now they've brought that SPBM piece into VRA. Mm-hmm. Right. So now you don't even need to plug it there. So now we have that whole thing in box to removing a lot of the barriers to entry for all that. Right. You know, so it's making everything just easier to consume. Right. And that as that gets more prevalent, we're getting a lot more uptick in interest in it. Right. It's more approachable for people who said, you know, in the past, wow, that was really complicated. Right. You go back to VRA before the 7.x days, right, where you had to go through this gigantic planning exercise to just install it. Right. You know, and so now they've introduced a lot of the wizards in there that make it a lot easier to install. We're integrating more stuff into it.
Yeah, they combined a lot of that. They integrated VRO into one of the servers. They definitely reduced the amount of infrastructure required to deploy VRA. So I thought that was great. And then even getting the plugin in there for SPBM was, I think, the first version of it was a little tricky. Please, for me at least, because I'm not a VRA expert. Just getting VRA up and running in the first place was even though it's greatly simplified, it's not exactly it's not a simple task, I'll say.
Yeah, I won't lie. I mean, the first time I installed it was like it took me 3 days just to get it to deploy a VM without blowing up. You know, so there's definitely a little bit of a learning curve that has greatly been reduced in the past.
All you have to do is be friends with Cody, and you just call him and say, "Cody, how do I do this?"
Absolutely, just call me up.
It's Twitter. Let's say, "Help me! I need automation."
That's totally true, man. I can't tell you how many times I've had people respond like, "Oh, have you looked at this? Or have you done that?" You know, just a ton of just like free professional services almost. I mean, the community is awesome.
Yep, the VExpert community.
Your bill is in the mail, though.
The bill is in the mail, absolutely. Now, I was going to say, yeah, if you don't have someone like Cody at your disposal, I would definitely, there's a lot of great blogs out there. Even the VMware VRA landing page has a lot of really good stuff. But I've got to say that IT Hollow, you know, if you're talking about SRM, or VRA, Eric Shanks has done a bang up job on really providing just excellent content that walks you through the entire process.
And the golden rule, right, of all deployments is NTP, DNS, NTP, DNS. Yeah. That'll get you most of the way there.
Fair enough.
So I guess here's my question out of VRA use cases. What have you seen any type of automation platform? It always inevitably gets used for something that you start to say like borders on like a human problem. You know, sometimes in IT, we almost, when I worked in ops, I used to get asked to borderline solve HR problems of, you know, in terms of not just permissions, but sometimes really bizarre workflows. Have you seen anything that is just the use case? It's not like, oh, that's really cool. It's like, oh, that's just really strange to where, you know, an example from like in log analytics, using it to track remote worker productivity for HR reasons, which kind of gets to the exception. Have you seen people try to kludge VRAW into processes that you never thought that was the core use case even of the product?
Personally, I haven't seen a lot of that just because like most of the customers I've spoken to at this point are still fairly new to the product itself. So they haven't really gotten to that point that I've seen with VRA. It's mostly just VM basic provisioning and then some of the infrastructure as a service. So yeah, I think it's not mature enough in most of the customers I've spoken to get to the point where they're doing crazy things. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all of our customers have got very targeted use cases that they're going after. So you're right. I haven't seen really strange work cases like that, but you'll be the first to know.
It starts sending an email to like, "Hey, Todd, go plug in the fiber channel cable." Todd, send a follow-up email 5 minutes later. "Todd, I know you ignored this email. Please call the structured cable team," you know, things like that. So I guess that's something that people start MacGyvering automation solutions after they're more familiar with them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, remember that story from about a year ago with that one sysadmin from the Midwest somewhere, where he automated his entire life, and he had like an SSH script that would make him coffee and pause the machine for 42 seconds because that's the amount of time it took him to get from his desk to the coffee machine. And his coworkers didn't even know that the coffee maker was even online, let alone had an SSH payment on it. But so I expect we'll start seeing weird things like that as a lot more people start adopting the product.
Coffee as a service. I like it.
Indeed.
One of the things that I've been really encouraged with recent releases here, and this is true of VRA as well as vSAN and other things, there has been point releases now where they have added just a ridiculous amount of functionality, right? You know, so just the .3 release of VRA is got enough content in it that you could have said, you know, that would make a pretty decent major release.
Yep, agreed.
Right, you know, and so there has just been this groundswell of effort put in by VMware in a number of these products where it just really shows that VMware is kind of starting to put their money where their mouth is, right? You know, we say that the automation piece is important, right? And we want people to do that. And now we've got the developers behind it where we're adding features at a pace that's frenetic almost, right? You know, so that we're getting all that functionality in there as quick as we can, you know, so like even the vSAN 6.6 release, right? I mean, there was a ton of content in that release.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, so it's really nice to see VMware pushing foot all the way down, pedal to the metal, wide open throttle, whatever you want to say, you know, that we've got these strategic initiatives that are important to us, and we are putting the devs behind it to make that vision reality.
And I think another kind of interesting point, right, is if you follow the VRO and VRA like Slack channel for VMware code, you can see in real time what people are starting to develop and build around these products. And it's pretty exciting to watch some of the things that they're working on. So, and it's a great community around it too. So great way to get support.
Yeah, I'm finding that Slack is replacing Twitter in some cases for me for hunting people down. I'm even at the point that sometimes I'll get a Slack message. Someone will ask me something on, you know, either the code or VXpert or one of the Slack teams that I'm on. And I'll look at it and realize they're a VMware employee. And out of all the different communication tools they have, they're reaching out to me on, you know, I love how that line between what's in the company and not in terms of communication is bridging and being able to, you know, get access to developers and product managers and people like that. It's a lot easier because of things like Slack.
I feel like we're talking too much about Slack. I might trim some of this later, but...
Slack.
All the Slack. Nah.
Talk about Yammer, the social network that no one asked for, but everyone got as part of their 365 subscription.
Yeah, Aaron, to what you were saying earlier, you were reminding me, like, when the way they integrated SPBM and all that policy-based management inside of VRA, it really went from, in my opinion, like, VRA was the key needs for VRA was being able to deliver, whether it's infrastructure as a service or whether it's for DevOps, for deploying workstations, you know, some sort of stability and compliance, you know, some sort of process that's always going to be the same. And you know, there's not going to be any errors, right? Really great. But now incorporating the ability to actually leverage the right storage and the quality of service, all that stuff leveraged using policies, I think was it's pretty exciting. So I'm super excited that it's now integrated with VRA. And I'm looking forward to hear all the details from when we have the full VRA 7.3 episode in a few weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to be on that. You write that one down. Excuse me. choked on a frog.
Why are you eating frogs? That's going to get sampled. I know he's going to use that as a recording, like me shouting, "Why are you eating frogs?"
That's going to make the episode. What are you talking about? I'm not cutting that out.
Oh, great.
Well, glad I could contribute.
Tune into the Virtually Speaking podcast and hear Aaron choke on a frog.
Oh, man.
Awesome. Well, yeah, great introduction to what some of the VRA use cases are out there. I want to thank both Cody Hosterman from Pure Storage and Aaron Patton from SolidFire/NetApp coming on this week. I appreciate you guys taking the time. For those of you that are going to be in San Francisco next week, Cody Hosterman and I are going to be at Pure Accelerate. So if you haven't registered, be sure to register. We are doing a session on Wednesday talking about FlashArray and VMware Virtual Volumes. So that's going to be pretty awesome. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to present with you on Virtual Volumes. And please come to Accelerate. A couple other sessions I have as well on just standard best practices with AFAs. And then also vRealize. So we're talking about VRA, VRO, VROps, Log Insight, and how you can leverage that with Pure.
Nice. I'll be attending those for sure. Hey, I saw you were on Twitter doing some video for VVols. What kind of video? It looked like they were like filming you. It wasn't like a, you know, a computer demo. It looked like they were filming you as well. What was that about?
Yeah, yeah. We were filming a demo of virtual volumes I was running on my laptop, and they were kind of just filming me doing it. And I, honestly, I don't know how it's going to be all edited together. I mean, they'll do their magic to make it look nice, but they're filming a bunch of videos. And they're like, let's do a V-Vol thing. So I'm like, all right, sounds good. So they filmed me demoing V-Vols on my laptop while recording my screen. I don't know. It'll be cool.
Fancy.
See how it turns out. But the demo itself is cool. So
awesome.
I can promise that.
So are we going to be able to have like a close up on your face, like in the corner while you're doing the screen, so we can watch your facial expressions of like delight, is, you know?
Well, that's my biggest problem generally when I'm doing video demos, is that you really can't look into my eyes when I'm talking about the technology. And that's really where the passion comes from. So we wanted to try to make sure my face was in there as well.
Yeah, because if you look at his computer, all you're going to see is V-Vols, but then you're going to see a Slack channel on the bottom where he's like screaming at VRA product managers. All right, John, anything else before we let these gentlemen go?
That's about it. I mean, we're good.
Awesome. All right, well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud or iTunes by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. Next week, we're going to Pure Accelerate to talk about some flash array and V-Vols. And so until then, bye for now. This is usually the part where we invite our guests to do freestyle rap or dancing.
Well, speaking of, I mean, Snoop Dogg's going to be Accelerate, so I'll try to work out some
Snoop Dogg's going to be at Accelerate.
Yes.
Snoop Dogg. Shizzle.
Wow. The eye shizzle, you know, for the eye scuzzy with Snoop Dogg.
Hey, I never heard your Netherlands exit comment yet, so how's that coming?
Belgium.
I like Belgium.
Belgium. Like bailing out. Yeah. I mean, Austria is easy because you got Austria. Denmark, you could do Dumpmark.
Yeah.
Or Dunmark.
See, now you got me thinking about this. I got to get out of there.
Hungary would just be full.
Where's the symbol crash?
Rim shot.
We've officially reached the end.
Yeah, we've reached the end of the internet. We've reached the end of discussions about automation.
Enough of this jibber jabber.